The theme is Magnify Christ. And you'll see up here today, we're going to talk about the I Am, and then we're going to talk about the bread when Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And each week we will build on Jesus' I Am statements. They're found in the Gospel of John that we've been working through. These statements are significant because they reveal in Jesus' own words who he says he is. Note that I use the present continuous. Okay, I could say who he said he was because he was, but he is, and who he says he is. In Greek, the New Testament was written in Greek, but Jesus and his disciples, though they spoke Greek, they probably conversed in Aramaic. So we're going to throw around a few words. Aramaic basically has been lost to us, as best I know. Hebrew was really even lost to us, and we'll work through that in a moment. But the word in the Greek is ego eimi, or ego eimi, depends on your pronunciation. And this means I am. Jesus was identifying himself with the self-revelation of God to Moses by Yahweh, the Lord Almighty. If you see it written in your script in the Bible, it's usually all capitals, L-O-R-D. And that's the word to tell you that in this portion of the writing, the word is Yahweh. We're going to jump to the Tetragrammaton is what it's called. It's Y-H-W-H, because if you've studied Hebrew, and I can testify that Hebrew is a terribly hard language to learn, they drop off the vowels. And actually, when I was in Hebrew class, our professor or assistant brought in a newspaper that he had taken out all the vowels in English and said, can you read this? And believe it or not, you can kind of intuit the meaning. So the YHWH, historically they've put in YAHWEH, so it's spelled up here for you, although it's all caps here in the Hebraic. It would be a little A and a little E, and there are several different ways to do it. The Hebrew people, the Jews, when they came to a reading of the scripture, because they would put out the scrolls, and they would use a pointer and they would follow along because it was so holy you almost couldn't touch it. When they came to the word Yahweh, because that was the proper name of God, they would not speak it. They wouldn't pronounce Yahweh like I'm openly doing now. They would use the word Adonai. And so anytime you heard the word Adonai, you would understand that was the proper rendering of the word. And we don't have time today to go into Exodus chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. I'm thinking after we do the seven I Am statements, we might go back and do the names of God just to help us build deeply more into this, because it's just to me fascinating and beautiful. But when Moses sees the burning bush, he's out tending sheep, probably in the mountains. He sees a sight, catches his eye. He goes and looks at it. And as he approaches, he's noticing that the bush is not being consumed. It's on fire, but it's not burning, right? It's just giving off this glory, we'll call it, the Shekinah glory of God. And it was the presence of God drawing Moses to that place, and as Moses approached, God said, take off your shoes, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. This place is holy. And there are three things. It's on. Let's go to the next slide, if we can. Maybe having some technical difficulties. If it gets up there we go. Okay, so there's the Tetragrammaton in the background. It's remember, it's read from right to left, so it's YHWH. YHWH to y'all. So it's like Japanese. We had to learn to read right to left, up to down. And so I am that I am. There are three things that happen in this exchange. And God called Moses and gave him a profession, a job. He said, go back to Egypt. Remember, this was the prince of Egypt who had murdered, run away. He married a Midianite shepherd's daughter, and he was tending sheep at this time. So God said, go back and rescue my people. This is the task I'm giving you to do. Notice the similarities. We are all given a profession, right? Of course, our job is our profession, but our biblical profession is to tell people about Christ. And then the promise, right? Because Moses protests, like you and I usually do. I'm not worthy, God. Who am I? How can I do it? There's no way. You know, I don't speak well. I don't, whatever the task is, right? We protest. But God says the greatest promise, I believe, in all of Scripture, because it's over and over and over and over in the Word of God, I will be with you. That's the promise of presence, the promise of abiding, the promise of union, the promise that you don't have to do what God calls you to do alone. He will be with you. He will do mighty things, beautiful, amazing, wonderful, miraculous things through you as you surrender and submit and trust in him. It's a beautiful story what Moses did. And then the proclamation, because Moses said, well, if I go to the children of Israel back in Egypt and I tell them you sent me to rescue them, who am I to say is sending me? Okay, it's another little protest, but an honorable one. And God's reply was this tetragrammaton. It's, I am who I am. It can be rendered several different ways because it's such a powerful statement, right? If I sent you on a job and you said, hey, who am I to say is sending me? I'd say Mark, right? Or if I used my title, I would say Pastor Mark, okay? And God was saying to Moses, my name is I am. And it means being, existence. And it's so big that it can be rendered, I have always been. He never had a beginning. I am now. I exist. And I will always be. So I am that I am. I am who I am. This is God that we worship. So there are, oh yeah, let me put those up. Hayah is what he actually said when he responded the first time, and that means I am, it's the first person. Yahweh is the Lord is, the third person. Just a little note. But I want to give you, and I'm going to put them up really fast because we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on these, but these are 10 things that John Piper notes that Yahweh means. I just said it. He never had a beginning. He will never have an end. God is absolute reality. God is utterly independent. He depends on no one else. Everything that is not God depends totally on God. All the universe is by comparison to God as nothing. God is constant. Right? We say unmovable, unshakable. God is the absolute standard of truth and goodness and beauty. God does whatever he pleases and is always right and always beautiful and always in accord with truth. God is the most important and most valuable reality and person in the universe. And if you want these with fuller explanations that I'm not reading, I can give those to you. So we read, my first point today is Jesus provides. And we read John chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. And I just want to talk about this for a few minutes. The feeding of the 5,000. This was the number 4 of the 7 signs in the Gospel of John that he's giving us. And remember, any time in the Gospel of John you have a sign or a statement from Jesus, it calls the listeners into contention or challenge, right? He's asking the people to believe or not, right? He's giving them the option. And so in this passage, the whole chapter, we actually have a statement and an act. And so then the question of faith that we read. I love this about Jesus. I think he's a little playful sometimes. And I think he was with his disciples. He is with me. He said, look at all these people. How are we going to feed them? And the disciples were like, I didn't know we were supposed to. And, you know, Philip, the logical one, well, he's probably over there with his calculator. I don't know. Matthew's probably jotting notes. It would take a year's wages to feed all of them. And Jesus says, you feed them, right? It's a challenge of faith, a challenge of belief, an opportunity to trust in Jesus. Maybe they hadn't been with him long enough to know that something amazing was coming, but he's teaching them in every instance. And that's your and my interaction with Jesus. We're learning to trust Jesus, to be his apprentices, learning from him how to live our life. Okay, just like disciple means follower, it means apprentice. Everyone who has put their trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord is a disciple, is a follower, is an apprentice to Jesus. And then the 5 loaves and 2 fish. This is just beautiful. I love it. A little boy that day, in the text, we find out that a bunch of people were going to Jerusalem. So this was toward the Passover time. And so each year, hundreds, if not tens of thousands and maybe millions of people flocked to Jerusalem for this time. So having 5,000 men, and if there were 5,000 men and a bunch of women and children, the numbers could have been, you know, 10 or 15,000 people gathered listening to Jesus on this mountain. And very well spelled out in Matthew 4, 5, 6, and 7. We'll get to that someday. But I love that Jesus took 5 little loaves of barley bread. And barley bread was the cheapest bread you could buy in that day. And 2 little dried fish. And he stopped and he gave thanks. And how the situation came about was Andrew found this little boy and brought this lunch. And of course, the boy had to be willing to give up his lunch. And the miracle? Jesus broke it and it fed 5, 10, 15,000 people. So the lesson for you and me is Jesus takes our 5 little loaves and our 2 fish, right? Like Moses, if you're called by God to do something and you say, well, God, I can't. I don't know how. I don't have the ability. He takes the little bit that we offer him and he makes it abundant and he blesses. So much so that there were 12 basketfuls of bread left over. I mean, abundance. Our God is a God who abundantly blesses his people. And that's the next point. But in the story, we have a crisis because of the miracle, the people who were expecting this Messiah to come and be the king, they wanted to force him to be a king. And so in the text of John, Jesus slips away again. He does this several times through the Gospels. And then the story goes on that the disciples go across the ocean, the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus walks on water. So this is John's rendering of that, and it's just kind of a note in between the two things. But the crisis is expecting Jesus to be something he can't be at that time or in the way that they expected, right? They wanted to make him the physical king to reign in Jerusalem, to do away with Rome. And yes, Jesus is the king. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but this was not his time, right? Over and over again in the Gospels, we see this. So we're going to stop here. And we're going to have the first half of the Lord's Supper. The difference today is we're going to split it into two parts. We'll do the bread now, and then we'll sing another song, releasing the children to go to Sunday school, and then we'll do the wine afterwards. But we have lots of bread up here, because when we typically take the Lord's Supper, we get a little bitty piece of bread, right? And I'm fusing two things today, so apologies ahead of time, but I want you to see the abundance of our Father. When Jesus broke the bread and he gave it, people ate. They ate their fill, right? The abundance of it. And so later in the Gospels, Jesus, he took his bread from the Passover table and, let's put it here, and he broke it, right? And there's something beautiful about this act. When you and I take this bread and we break it and we eat it, we are remembering his broken body on the cross. So I referenced earlier Jesus. We have to switch slides. I referenced earlier Jesus walking on the water. It's the fifth sign in the Gospel of John, and it's John chapter 6, 16 through 21. And he has to slip away from the crowds, and then the disciples set out on the boat. And by the way, if you've chosen to watch The Chosen, if you've decided to watch The Chosen, the episode where Peter's walking on the water to Jesus is just beautiful. It's a crier video. But the message that I just want to simply say today for Jesus walking on the water is, don't be afraid. I am here. And the NRSV renders it is I, what Jesus calls out. The NLT, which I like as a public reading version, says, don't be afraid, I am here. And he actually uses the word ego I me, though this is not one of the seven I am statements. And there are actually, this is number nine, there are actually two other I am statements where Jesus says something similar to I am, and we'll cover those in later messages. Before Abraham was, I am, he tells. And then in another time, he says, I am. But the message I want you to see is the same message that he gave to Moses, right? It's me. I'm here. I will be with you. Do not fear. I will give you the power, the ability, the strength to do what I'm calling you to do, the task for which I have called you. And that's how we live and breathe and have our being, right? We trust in God to do amazing things in us and through us. So we're in a season of prayer and fasting, and it's a beautiful time. Because of that, we offered a prayer and fasting training yesterday. And for 5 hours yesterday, we had about 40 people here in the auditorium and then throughout the church praying. I don't know the actual percentage of time that we prayed, but of the 5 hours, we prayed probably 3 of the 5 hours. So brothers and sisters in Christ sitting here praying for you and interceding on behalf of you. And yes, we had fasted, most of us. I don't know that everybody did, but we had fasted Friday afternoon until Saturday afternoon. And then we broke our fast together at 2 o'clock yesterday. It was beautiful. And so it gives extra meaning to trusting in the bread of life, right? Jesus, who is the bread of life. John 6:32, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And of course, the crowd say, "Sir, we want that kind of bread." And Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Right? When you're fasting, you're hungry. I got up a couple of times yesterday and asked the group, "Are you hungry?" And they were like, "Yep." I was hungry. I was a little weak. And it was only a 24-hour fast. So if, by the way, side note, we recorded that session and we're going to make it available. So if you'd like to watch it, I'd welcome you to. Brother Sachi, our prayer team leader, led us in a season of learning about prayer. And then Moises and Elena led us in a season of the spiritual formation. And then I taught about fasting from the Word of God. And so I encourage you to practice, to learn. Jesus said, "When you fast." And then he went on to explain. So it's kind of an expectation. It's not a command. And do be careful, especially with those of you who are maybe diabetic or have high blood pressure. Talk to your doctor first. But a few things that I want to talk about the bread of life is the second crisis of belief. Remember, in the Gospel of John, anytime you see a statement, anytime you see a miracle, it calls people to believe, causes a crisis of belief. And having fed the 5,000 with food, they were saying, "Show us a sign," right? And they wanted more, but they didn't want the right thing, right? And he was countering, it was not an argument, but a discourse, a dialogue between Jesus and the crowds. And they're saying, "Yes, give us this, give us more." I mean, they were literally asking for more manna, and they referenced to Jesus, "Give us manna like Moses gave the children of Israel." And Jesus corrects them and saying, "It wasn't Moses that gave you the manna, it was God. It was God's provision." And then he beautifully says it, that he is the bread of life. But in the dialogue, he says in verse 27, "Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that I, the Son of Man, can give you. For God the Father has sent me for that very purpose." Spend your energy, your life, your effort, your focus, your attention on eternal life, on kingdom things, right? It's stated by Paul as setting your mind on Christ, or your eyes. I mean, literally, it's a focus, your intention, your goal on Christ, on kingdom values, kingdom perspectives. And he said, Jesus, "This is the purpose for which I came, was to help you to focus on the kingdom." Okay, and Jesus is our focus. The reason why we call this series Magnify Christ is because we're looking to Christ. We're putting all of our desire and our hope and our intention in Christ. "Christ be magnified in me," we sang. Beautiful song. And in verse 28, they replied, "But what does God want us to do?" Right? Much like the disciples, the crowds weren't actually getting it. And then Jesus clearly told them, "This is what God wants you to do. Believe in the one he has sent." Okay? And then they continue on with the manna conversation. And then finally, John 6:35. I'm encouraging you as church, brothers and sisters in Christ, to memorize verses. Memorize passages. Put the word, plant your word in your heart so that we may not sin against God. The psalmist teaches us, right? This is a good one. Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life." And again, it's all caps, "I am." He was pointing back to this and saying, "I am Yahweh," right? Fully God, fully man. Now, We could go into a long theological discussion, and I could bring Dwayne up here, and we could banter on it. It's hard to understand, sure, right? Fully God, fully man. Jesus was 100% God, yet he was the Son of God. And the Father, and he referred to Abba, the Father in heaven, and he promised that after he left, one would come who would be our comforter, our strength, this Holy Spirit, the Ruach, the breath of God, would be with us. So you and I are invited into this Trinitarian unity, this unity with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? I showed you a symbol a while back, and you are in the middle of that beautiful, loving fellowship relationship. That's how much God loves you. He surrounds you with himself. He enters your life and works with you, transforming you into who he created you to be. I am with you. Don't be afraid. No matter the storm, the water that's waves around you, you can claim and have confidence that God is with you. Jesus is the bread of life. No one who comes to me, Jesus said, will be hungry and thirsty, right? Talking about fasting, we get hungry. We get thirsty. We can't go very long without water, right? 3 days. We can only go about 40 days without food before our body just stops, right? This is talking about spiritual hunger and thirst. Jesus quenches our spiritual hunger and thirst. He is for us the bread of life. And it's a beautiful imagery, taking and breaking the bread and remembering, thank you, Jesus, that you broke the bread with your disciples and said, every time you do this to us, his followers, remember me. And we remember him, and we physically take some bread into our body, and whether it's a little piece or a big piece, it nourishes us in the same way that when we receive the Spirit of Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are nourished in our spirit. Our thirst is quenched in our spirit. I don't know if I put it up. I didn't. Matthew 5:16, in Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, he gives the Beatitudes. And one of them says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are you when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, for living right. The promise is you will be filled. So before we do the Lord's Supper, the wine part, I want to give you my acronym, and then we'll come back to the... each week I'm going to do this. I really enjoy this because I pray and I work through this, and I want to summarize in the words kind of what this means. And so, being righteous, ever anticipating deliverance. Jesus for us as the bread of life means that we are being made righteous, right? And we are ever, constantly, continually anticipating deliverance from sin, from hunger, right? From our old nature. And then, because it's a two-part word, living in full emancipation. My chains are gone. I've been set free. Because of the blood of the Lamb, because of that broken body on the cross, you and I can live free lives, filling our hunger with righteousness, filling our thirst with righteousness, and being who God created us to be.